This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. You know how when you're in a great relationship, and it's a long-term relationship, like a family member or a significant other, a spouse, and you really love each other, spend a lot of time together, but every once in a while there's just something that bugs you. You know what I mean? About that, just a little something. And if you're that close, if you're really good friends or good spouses for one another, you have the courage to say, just tell you something. Can I just tell you something as a friend, maybe? And then, you know, if that's being said to you, your heart kind of starts to pound a little bit and say, okay, what's coming? Well, I have this dear friend, and for anonymity's sake, let's say her name is Paula, and she's not here today. And so we've been friends for years and years and years. She's an amazing woman, just an amazing woman. And this little thing started to bug me maybe, oh gosh, a year, 2 years ago. And I never said anything because I wasn't quite sure how to say it. I didn't want to hurt her feelings, and I figured it was just me, you know, and maybe it is. I found that I was noticing she was using the word incredible every other word, it seemed like. Every paragraph was incredible. The sunset was incredible. This relationship was incredible. This trip was incredible. My experience. So I just kind of let it go, and I worked on myself. And then recently, she got a job, her dream job. She has been waiting for this job for years. And she finally gets this job. And of course, it was incredible that she got this job. And so we were sitting down, and I just let her revel in this exciting news, and I was reveling in it with her. And we sat down one day, and we were talking about everything, and then she started to talk about her job and how incredible it was that she was going to be starting this job. And so I got up the courage, and I said, Paula, do you mind if I tell you something as a friend? And she said, no, what? Of course. And she's done this to me before, too, because there's plenty that I'm sure bugs are about me. And I said, it's just that the word incredible is used by you a lot. And I don't think you give yourself enough credit. And I don't think you give God enough credit. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, and she knows me well enough, so I'll get around to it eventually. And I said, do you not see? You are this woman who has stayed close to God for years and decades and decades. Is it not believable to you that God would be working in your life? Not only is it not incredible, it is so credible, so believable. And when you look at a sunset, it's not incredible if you believe in God, right? It is glorious, like this song we sang. It is glorious. By this time, then I looked at her and I said, and you are glorious. God is coursing through you in so many ways, and it is credible. Tears started to come down her face, and she thanked me, and then we proceeded to talk about other things, and she had to stop herself at least two times as she started to say incredible. I mean glorious. And so it was really very interesting, and I know that it helped me as much as her to remember who we really are if we say we believe in something greater than us, right? If we believe in something greater than us. I have another friend, believe it or not, who took this very word several years ago, and I just related it when I was preparing this sermon, that she was talking about this same word, incredible, with one of her friends, and they tended to say it a lot. And so one of her friends suggested that instead of saying, isn't that sunset incredible? That you say, isn't that sunset so God? Isn't that sunset so great? And so she and I kind of kid each other, and we go through that now, and we'll say the same thing. And the more we tune in, the more we stay in prayer and Bible study and worship and coming together with other people and youth group. Yes, youth group. Hello. I see you over there. The more our relationship deepens and the more we see God's glory in everything and in everyone, whether they are manifesting it or not. That's the way it works. And the deal is that the closer we stay to God, the more aware we become of everything unlike God that comes up for healing or for pruning, right? Like our gospel says today. I want to say that again. The closer we stay to God, the more we notice love, and the more we're going to notice anything unlike God coming up for healing. And we know that we have to do our part not to have that continue in our lives, and especially in our own personal lives. So the gospel today is exactly that. Jesus is with his disciples. It's the Last Supper is what the setting is for today's gospel. And it's the end of many I am statements that he makes. And last week we heard about him saying, I am the good shepherd, if you were here. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. I'll look for you when you're lost. I'll never give up on you. He used all of these statements and all of these metaphors throughout his ministry so that the people would get it. And today's was a very common metaphor to use because there were probably vines growing everywhere for as they would be through vineyards and walking and lots of wine country. And he probably just took a branch and he said, I am the vine. And he realized that. And then when he's at the Last Supper, he tells them, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. And God, the Father, is what makes everything grow. And then wait till you see the fruit. We aren't the ones producing the fruit. Let's be real clear about that. But by the fruit, we know that God's in action. We know that God's in action. And we give God the glory. We give God the glory. Jesus was with them. He wanted them to get it. He wanted them to know finally before he left, because he was going to leave them the next day, their part and their connection. He said, not only are you the branches, but I abide in you and you in me. We couldn't be closer. So I needed to see it. So I was looking up pictures of vine and branches and trying to figure, you know, really so I could visualize it. And I ran across this little video clip that I hope will help you to visualize it too. Let's see this little clip.
Today we're going to be looking at the vine. This is an image, a central image that Jesus uses in John 15. I really think it's the heart of the whole gospel. And so the first thing I want to do is I'm going to draw a picture of a hand. This picture represents God the Father, because really the vine is all about the Father. Because Jesus said the Father is the vine dresser. And so we're going to put inside of the Father's fingers a seed. And the Father plants this seed, which is the kingdom of God, into the soil. And then the sun comes out and the rain gives the energy and this vine grows. And then the Father sets guide wires up. You know, the Father is working all along the way to help this vine grow. Eventually the vine grows and the sun comes and the rain comes and blossoms come and the fruit is born on the vine. Sometimes the Father has to prune and take off some branches. But here we have this picture of growth and vitality. And what we really have going on here in John 15 is this picture of the Trinity. We have the Father, and we have the Son, Jesus, who is the vine, which is really this picture of Israel. It's a carryover from the Old Testament. But then we have the Spirit everywhere. The Spirit is the sun. The Spirit is the rain. As the rain falls down onto the vine, giving life and water and baptism, if you will, the Spirit soaks down into the roots, and the Spirit then becomes the actual sap that grows up through the vine and out through the branches and to the clusters of fruit. And really what this is about is how disciples make fruit of the Spirit. And the sap comes out into the fruit, and it's really God's love. That's the purpose of the whole vine. It's really about making wine, the wine of God's love.
And then he goes on to draw, it goes on for a couple more minutes, but he draws a picture of the world and then the wine overflowing and going into the world and on, and he gets all these swirls going like this big dance, but it's several minutes. And I think it's a really good depiction of where we are in the grand scheme of things with all this, and I'm going to use my little pointer. If this is the branch, right, we are right here to stay connected to God, and it's such a connection to stay connected and know that that sap runs through us so, so strongly, and that that sap is the very love of God. And if you notice, there's not just one branch. We're not going to have just one branch. We don't do this alone. We are many, many branches in order to get the abundance of fruit that we need, the abundance of wine that is going to be poured out in service to a broken world. So that's exactly what we do when we come to this table for Holy Communion. We are taking within us the fruit of the vine. That's why we insist on it being wine or grape juice and bread, so that we take it into our very being with the understanding that something changes, something happens when we have that kind of intention in Holy Sacrament. And then we take it out into the world to minister to a hurting society. In places like Nepal, for instance, we can't go over there maybe, but we can certainly be with them in prayer after this devastation. Maybe after the riots in Baltimore, that we can be with those people and people everywhere to come for justice in this world. We are not alone. And we never do it alone if we really realize it. We need to keep coming and bringing friends and worshiping together. In closing, I have to tell again a favorite story of mine. And when it comes to mind, and it's perfect for a gospel, I have to tell it. So if you've heard it before, please forgive me. It's a story of a member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly and then didn't show up for about 2 weeks. And so it was a chilly evening one night, and the priest, a woman priest, decided to go and visit him. And so when she found him, she knocked at the door and went inside. She found him sitting by himself in front of this beautiful blazing fire. And she sat with him. And he thought, well, I know why she's here. I know what's coming now. And that didn't happen. She sat in the chair. And after a while, she was watching the fire. And she got up out of her chair. And she took the tongs. And she took one of the embers. And she took it out of the fire, and she just put it on the hearth, and she sat back down. And pretty soon, that ember, it was glowing, and then less and less and less and less, until it just seemingly was nothing. Seemingly was nothing. So she sat back and still didn't say one word. Then finally she looked at her watch, and she thought, okay, well, it's time that I go. She got up. She went over with the tongs and picked up that ember, put it back into the flame, and it instantly heated up and caught fire with the rest of the embers. She said goodbye. He said, thank you for coming, and thank you for that fiery sermon. I'm going to see you next Sunday. We do this together, my brothers and sisters. Abide. Abide. In Christ.